Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Dr. Gerald Hickson had several concerns for his wife's recovery after her knee replacement surgery in 2008. And he wanted to be sure, of course, that she was comfortable, that she had the right medications, and that she was up and walking around soon in order to prevent blood clots. However, after spending some time in the hospital with his wife, a new concern began to emerge for her health. And it came down to a simple matter of hygiene. You see, he noticed that not all of the doctors and nurses were washing their hands before treating his wife. Of course, any one of us, if we noticed that those treating us or a loved one aren't washing their hands, would be a little bit disturbed. But this was actually made worse because Dr. Hickson is not just a physician. He is also the senior vice president for quality, safety, and risk prevention at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. And so this problem was especially concerning to him, to say the least, because this is his field. As the nurses filed in and out of his wife's room, he counted 92 instances when staff members should have washed their hands, but he only counted 32 times that they actually did. He politely reminded them to wash their hands before treating his wife, and the various responses from the staff he found very interesting. Some doctors and nurses naturally were just embarrassed. They became flustered. They didn't know what to say. They turned beet red. They'd been caught, if you will. Others became defensive and they began to give excuses as to why they didn't sanitize their hands, as if you can think of many reasons for that. And others replied graciously with a thank you and corrected their mistake. Now tell me, by judging the attitudes of the various people that Dr. Hickson talked to, which group do you think was most likely not to make the mistake again? The embarrassed ones, the defensive ones, or the grateful ones? To be quite honest, I'm actually not sure which group it was. It wasn't a great study or anything like that. It was just his observation. But I can tell you which ones are most likely, based on human behavior, to repeat the same mistake. And that is the defensive ones. That is the ones that when faced with some correction, when faced with someone saying, hey, could we just do this, please? Began to make up reasons why they were in the right. Pride is a huge issue for human beings. It's a huge issue for human beings. Everyone faces pride. Everyone has moments where they're prideful. Even the most self-conscious, self-doubting person has moments in their life where they struggle with pride. One of the problems with pride is that nothing turns other people off like it. Have you ever been in the presence of one of those people that is just pompous and stuck up, and as soon as they open their mouth or walk into the room, you're just like, I don't want to be anywhere near that person. Have you ever seen someone like that? Have you ever interacted with people like that? I mean, nothing makes us shudder more than an extremely proud person. In fact, very few things crush our potential, cause as bad of decisions, and lead to disaster in the same way that pridefulness does. It even hinders our relationship with God and keeps us from being genuinely changed and renewed by Him. Anyone that spends much time opening up their Bible and reading God's Word, spending time in Proverbs, spending time in the New Testament, you'll see time and time again things about pride. In fact, the brother of Jesus, James, writes in James 4, verse 6, the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Heavenly Father, I just ask today that you will help us to become humble people. That you will help us to not allow ourselves to be opposed by you because of our pridefulness. but that we will press into what it is that you want to show us this morning. Help us to open our hearts to receive from you today. And Lord, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, obviously, when we read a verse like that, we don't want to be the people that are opposed by God. Like, it's just common sense. If God is God, meaning he created the world, he created the universe, he made us, there's no one greater than him in existence, do you want him opposing you? But he shows favor to the humble. I don't know about you, but I would love to have God's favor in my life. I would love to have the favor of God in my heart. But you got to wonder, you know, shows favor to the humble. So what does it look like to be humble? Because everyone has a different picture in their mind of what humility is. Some of us may think that being humble means people walk all over me. And we've seen those people. It's almost like a false humility. You know, they just go, oh yeah, I can't accept your compliment because that would be pride. I can't say thank you to that because that would be pride. Or they just say, you know what, yeah, you took the credit for the work that I did, but that's okay because if I said anything to you, that would be pride. And so they think that humility is just letting people run over them. What does humility look like? If you'd like scripture references for any of these things, I can give them to you afterwards. Humility is obedient. Humility is completely dependent on God. It does not expect recognition. It is not conceited. It's teachable. It is not quarrelsome. And it places others' interest first. Over the next three Sundays, we're going to be looking at the final three here. It is teachable. It is not quarrelsome. And it places others' interests first. And so today, we're going to begin this series called Knocking Ourselves Down a Peg, by talking about becoming teachable people. If you have your Bible here with you today and you'd like to follow along in that and read what we're about to read, it's Proverbs 13 verse 10 is where we're going this morning. Or if you have a mobile device or you're online and you'd like to follow along with us there, you can go to ascc.life and tap on the message notes tile, and that'll take you over to where we have a place that you can take your own notes and follow along with the scriptures and the points that we're going to be talking about. This is what we read in Proverbs 13, verse 10. It's nice and short. Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. Pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. Next week, we're going to look at this first part, pride leads to conflict. This week, we're going to focus in on those who take advice, those who are teachable, are wise. See, the fact of the matter is that we do not have long enough on this earth to figure it all out for ourselves. Each one of us has 50 to 100 years, some of us less, some of us more. And in that time, that's the time that we have to learn all that we can learn. But so many of us have this desire, this thought that, you know, if I figure it out for myself, my way's going to be better. You know, my way's working okay right now, so I don't need to hear from anyone else because my way's working pretty good. Any of you ever talked to teens lately? You know, you try to tell your teenagers or any kind of teenager, if you've ever been in youth ministry or anything like that, you tell them, hey, I've been there. You don't want to do this. This is a bad idea. Here's the hurt that it can bring. And they just go, yeah, but you got that experience. I need that experience too. I need to make my own mistakes and figure things out for myself. It's kind of stupid. But you know, we're not that far off from this quite often. We're told by someone, you know, I've done this thing and you don't know how much it hurt. Or we read in scripture and we see the examples of people who lived their lives in ways that don't honor God and the things that came down upon them because of that. And then we begin to live our lives in an opposite manner and somebody calls us out on us and we go, no, you look at your own life. I'm going to live mine the way that I want to. Our pride gets in the way. We get defensive. We back up. We don't allow ourselves to be teachable. And so we become just these people that won't learn from the mistakes of others, that won't learn from best practices, but insist on figuring it out for ourselves. The interesting thing that I've observed is that there are many Christians, many people who follow Jesus, who on the outside look teachable. They say, hey, I read my Bible. Hey, I pray. Hey, I show up to church quite often on Sundays. And they feel like they're these teachable people. They look like they're these teachable people. But God help the person or author or verse that runs counter to what they think life should look like. They run into a verse in the Bible, into a passage in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit brings it to life in them, and they see it and they go, wow, that would be a great word for someone else. Or they say, wow, I must be reading that wrong because my beliefs say this, and the Bible couldn't possibly oppose what I believe. Or they come to a pastor, and they're all on board as long as the pastor makes them feel good about themselves in his sermons, as long as he doesn't challenge them too much or at all. Or for some people, any Francis Chan fans in the house, challenges you beyond your capacity to bear and makes you feel really bad about yourself, but somehow you like it anyways. But we get to this place where we go, you know what? I'm not happy about that. It might be time to find another church. Or people that when confronted by someone on an issue of faith, points to their favorite author and says, well, my favorite author says this, and I agree with everything they say. They're a great, smart person. It's like, just because they agree with us doesn't mean they're right. In fact, piling up information that just completely agrees with you and not ever trying to learn from anything that challenges you is essentially the definition of not being teachable. It's essentially pride, because you're looking at things and you're saying, I'm going to make sure that there's all this evidence for what I believe. You know, I've got to be right, so I'm reading this book, it doesn't agree with me, so that author, he must be a heretic. Believes in Jesus, follows Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. Believes that it's through by grace, through faith in Jesus' death and resurrection that we're saved. But they're a heretic because they don't agree with my pet theology. Because they challenge me, because they make me feel uncomfortable. So, friends, do you see how even as believers, when we sit at the feet of teachers, but we'll only listen to teachers that we 100% agree with, that we'll only sit in front of those that pat us on the head and make us feel good about ourselves, that in fact, we are just hiding a lack of humility and teachableness. Sure, it doesn't rise to the surface because the tension is not there. We don't have to say, I'm going to be humble and listen to what they have to say and then ask God about it. Go back to Scripture and learn about it. See what other trusted individuals in my life and scholars have to say on the matter. But that's work, isn't it? That's uncomfortable, isn't it? The problem that we face is that none of us is perfectly correct. There have been some of my messages that I've gone back to and I've read through the notes and I've gone, oh, Stephen. What were you saying? Like, you didn't commit heresy, but oh, Stephen. Oh. You know, and I do that even now. I will take the things that I have held since I was young, and I will submit them to God. And I'll be reading the Bible sometimes, and the Holy Spirit will just speak to me, and he's like, you're not right in this issue. You need to correct this. You need to repent of this. You need to stop making excuses for this. Because I'm not perfect. I'm not as good as I could be. And in case you think that you are, you're wrong. See, there's not enough time in our lives to start from scratch. There's not. There's not enough time in our lives to think that, you know, we just have to begin from the beginning. Because if that's what you believe, then good luck figuring out a new language and a writing system and all of that. Because if you don't think that you can build on the shoulders of others, then you've got a whole lot of backtracking to do. Really, what I want you to remember today is that pride holds you back, but being teachable drives you forward. Okay, pride holds you back, but being teachable, it drives you forward. Pride holds you back, number one, because people don't want to be around you. And so you want to get that promotion. You're thinking, I'm the best at my job. I'm going to get the promotion. And your boss goes, if I give them the promotion, they're going to be in front of more people. Not happening. Pride holds you back because you think you have the answers to everything, and so you never let anyone give you advice that maybe, just maybe, could make you better. It holds you back. Pride holds you back from Jesus, and we'll talk about that in just a moment here. See, all of us, even the very smartest of you, build upon the knowledge and experience of those that have come before you. How many of you are familiar with a guy named Isaac Newton? He's the apple guy. Fell on his head. He's like, ooh, gravity, right? Here's what Isaac Newton said. If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants. He says, yeah, sure, I discovered this principle, but it's only because of the work of all these other people before me that I was able to stand on their shoulders and go, there's gravity. So he recognized that humility is key. He recognized that it wasn't all about him. What's interesting is despite tendencies as human beings and in this world of being prideful, even secular institutions often understand the importance of being teachable. They look at what's come before. They look at studies. They do their research, and then they go from there. They don't say, well, you know what, I'd rather make a whole bunch of mistakes and ignore the data that our statisticians are giving us. They say, oh, that's good information. Let's go through the focus groups, find out what they have to say. Okay, let's take that information, let's put it into play. Yes, that rhymed, I'm sorry. Countries and companies spend billions of dollars on intellectual theft. Why? To gain an advantage. To see what the other guys are doing, to see if they can get a leg up by building on what someone else has already put the work into. They're teachable. Maybe not honorably so, but they're teachable. Everyone born in this generation begins with and benefits from a foundation of knowledge and progress brought to us from previous generations, such as modern-day conveniences and inventions that have transformed the way that we communicate, the way that we travel. How many of you are thankful that you can get to the other side of the world in like 24 hours now? It used to be you basically said goodbye to your family and friends, hoped that you survived the journey and didn't get too many diseases on the way, and then, what, 6 months later, you might arrive on the other side of the world. But we didn't just jump to jumbo jets. We built on the shoulders of those that came before. So why is it that in our faith, why is it that in our lives, as we deal with bosses, as we deal with coaches, that we think, no, I've got it all together. I'm good. I can figure these things out myself. I don't need you to teach me. See, if you want to have a great impact as an individual and as a part of Christ's church, you must be teachable. You got to be teachable. If you want to have a great impact, you got to be teachable. Because I'll tell you, if you go to your friends and your coworkers and your neighbors, and you're like, I have no interest in ever listening to anything that you have to say, but I'm just going to tell you how you're wrong. I'm just going to tell you everything I believe, but I have no interest in hearing from you, in dialoguing with you. then good luck. Good luck. Because there aren't many people that are going to be interested in hearing what you have to say. Even to the extent of when we hear about the things that people in the world are doing and we don't agree with it and it upsets us, we can be prideful, or we can recognize that without the grace of Jesus Christ in our life, we would be in the exact same situation. And we can take that opportunity to learn from them about what they're going through, what people in their situation are going through. We can begin to learn to empathize and have compassion on these people, and maybe even grow in love towards them. So pride holds you back, but being teachable drives you forward. In fact, the greatest gift that followers of Jesus have comes as a result of humility. See, the good news of Jesus was founded in humility, and it requires humility. What do we find out in Scripture? Jesus, who is God, humbled himself and came to earth as a baby boy in some backwater village to some backwater carpenter couple. Bible even says he wasn't even much to look at. And then he allowed himself to be stripped naked and beaten, bloodied for us, and nailed to a cross in the most torturous and humiliating way that someone can die. Jesus humbled himself. Even when Jesus was growing up, this is God, but Jesus would ask questions that blew the scribes away. He was learning. He submitted to his parents. He didn't go, no, I'm God. I don't need to listen to you. He put himself under authority to them. And out of that humility, we gained the gospel of what Jesus has done for us to save us, to pay the debt that we owe God. Where we've missed the mark on what it is to be image bearers of Jesus. Jesus says, I fixed it. Let me cover over that. Where we broke trust between us and God and severed the relationship that we had with him, God says, I paid the price. I built the bridge. But here's the deal. You can't become a Christian unless you humble yourself. It's true. You want to know why? Because to accept the gospel, you have to humble yourselves to recognize that you need saving. That you can't become ethical enough or moral enough or good enough to have God look at you on the final day and go, good job, you know what, you're in. We're not capable because we're sinful. We have sin within ourselves. We have the fallen human nature. And it's only through our reliance on Jesus and his work on the cross that we can have salvation, forgiveness, adoption as children of God. And what that means is that we can't walk before God proud because everything we have is only as a result of Jesus. To follow Jesus, we must be teachable. We must recognize that our way is not necessarily the best way, that there's a whole lot in here that runs counter to what human wisdom would say is correct. And yet when we follow the words of God in Scripture, whatever trials it may bring as people disagree with us, or as we sacrifice of ourselves, doing what doesn't just make us feel good in the moment, that it pleases God and that it brings favor on us. It takes humility to do that, to say, I'm not right. God is. It takes humility to allow Jesus to pronounce forgiven. Because you have to admit that you needed forgiveness. And in the same breath, when we come before God and we recognize our pride, we recognize the mistakes that we've made and we fall to our knees and we confess it before him, that humility results in Jesus picking us up by the hand saying, forgiven. You are forgiven. Come with me. Let's walk through this together. Help me help you. Allow me to change you. Because who you are right now is not who you were made to be. Can you get over your earthly pride and thinking you're so wonderful and just come to take pride in me and allow me to change you through your humility? So friends, as we close today, with all the damage that pride causes, you may wonder why it could even be a temptation to be prideful. When we look at prideful people around us and we go, ugh, you got to wonder, why is it we allow ourselves to slip into pride, and yet it is so easy to do it. So easy to do it. It's so easy to think, you know what, I'm good. But is that pride? So easy to deflect scripture or reinterpret it to suit us. But that's pride. It's so easy to look down on those who don't follow Jesus instead of loving them. Friends, that's pride. That's pride that runs counter to the heart of God. To think that we don't need to change in order to reach the unchurched or to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, that we can just stay the same and get different results than we do now for the glory of God. Friends, that's pride. It's pride. But will you close your eyes and just begin to imagine what could happen if we were truly teachable? Think about that moment where you butted heads with somebody, where you got into a quarrel because you must be right and they were definitely wrong. What would have happened if you'd approached that with more grace and humility, that maybe I'm not right, or maybe I'm not wholly right. Maybe I need to take a second with these people. How many church splits over the color of carpet would have been avoided if we were teachable and not prideful? How many people would still be worshiping together? How many churches would be able to say, you know what, we're going to work together in this because I'm probably wrong in a few things and you're probably wrong in a few things, and so in our wrongness, we agree on Jesus and we can work together. And how would that change the perception of people in Pincher Creek and the surrounding area as they began to realize that Jesus' people are not prideful, but humble themselves and are being changed and are overcoming the foibles that are so common in the secular society that we live in, to live as people beyond, kingdom people, people who reflect the image of God. So today, if you're ready to take the first step on knocking yourself down a peg and becoming teachable, kicking pride to the curb, here's what I want to challenge you to do today. If you feel resistance when you read the Bible or are being discipled through messages or by being one-on-one with someone in our church, know that it is likely nothing but silly pride. Or at the very least, that maybe it's time to consider whether you're wholly right. And instead, make a conscious decision today, and each time that pride raises its ugly head, to dispense with it and to give it to God. Now, does that mean that I'm saying that you should just assume that I'm right? Please no. Please no. Okay, I am human just like you. And while this is my field of expertise, I'm growing in this area. And we all have areas that we're more mature in, that we understand, and I get things wrong sometimes. But what I mean by this is, if I'm saying something and it is scriptural, and in you go, I don't like that, or I don't think that I'm willing to do that, or that's impractical, or is he right? I don't know. All of us on our mobile devices, our computers, or in our hand, and if you don't have one, we'll give you one, have this thing called the Bible. And in here, we're able to check the things that I say, the things that we read. And what I truly hope that you will do is that you'll not just allow your pride to kick things away right away, but that you'll say, that's an interesting thought. Let me seek God and find out what he has to say. And the true test of character is when you look in here and you determine in your heart, I was wrong. Can you say to yourself, I was wrong, and make the change? Are you willing to be teachable, to be humble? That's between you and God. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we're able to hear from you and learn from you, be encouraged by you. But Lord, you also challenge us. And as imperfect human beings, I know, Lord God, that you can challenge me greatly. So for each person here today, if there's pride in our lives, Lord, will you forgive us of that? Will you help us to move past that right now? In fact, Holy Spirit, will you just begin in each one of our lives to show us where we're not right with you, where that pride has been creeping in, where we've allowed ourselves to become hard-hearted and to lack humility. As every one of you is doing that here, just want to speak to anybody who is humbling yourself today to the idea that Jesus can save you because of his work on the cross. I want to let you know that if you have decided in your heart to believe in Jesus and his work and in the forgiveness that it provides and to follow him, then you are saved and you are forgiven and you are a Christian. But it's helpful to mark these things. And so as a marker of this decision that you've made in your heart, maybe it's a decision that you can say right now is when I've made that decision, or maybe it's been a process coming along and you're not exactly sure when you came to this point. I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me, a prayer of commitment and thanksgiving to God, just to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. So if you'll pray this after me, whether you're online or here, Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequence of my sin, but I trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Master and as my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me and saving me through your work on the cross. Thank you for the victory I have in you over sin, over spiritual death, over Satan. Through your resurrection, fill me with your Spirit, make me new, and help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with us today and committed your life to Jesus, there's a card if you're here in the seat back in front of you. It's blue. It says, I have decided. If you don't mind filling that out and placing it in the offering plate or just placing it face down on the seat next to you when you go, we want to be able to follow up with you and get a Bible into your hands. If you're online, go to ascc.life and tap on Get Connected. Let us know who you are and how we can get a hold of you, the decision that you've made. We want to send you a Bible. We want to connect you with somebody that can help you through this journey that you're on. Because we're in this together. None of us should go through it alone.